T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some scheduled guests, and we have one this morning. We regular on us, our program on Thursday. We're so happy to have him. He's always got an interesting point of view and thoughtful. And many years, the managing editor of the Journal Inquirer paper. Many of you read the JI. Still making his mark there. Let's welcome Chris Powell to the program. Chris, welcome to the show.
It'll be great to be with you again, Matt. Matt.
I answered all kinds of things. I want to just start with a general question to get your take on this. I am getting increasingly frustrated with what appear to me, anyway, these arbitrary, pull them out of thin air, non-scientific, backed up decisions by our governor. This latest executive order on Monday, he's going to fine people $100 for not wearing masks, $500 if you organize an event that exceeds his limit, $250 if you go to such an event and you're caught there. And then this daycare edict that is just absolutely ill-conceived, that they're going to require every child 3 and over to wear a mask in daycare all day. I mean, they've never dealt with kids before. I mean, is it me, Chris, or do you think these are somewhat arbitrary, baseless decisions that they're being foisted upon us?
Well, there's certainly judgment calls that are questionable, and I have to wonder how long this emergency is going on. You were noting a few minutes ago that the curve has been more than flattened in Connecticut. I don't think we can call this an emergency anymore. We can call it a public health threat, but I don't know that it's an emergency that has justified the suspension of democracy in Connecticut, so that the legislature has put itself out of business for another 6 months and
sure.
Allowed the governor to rule as a king or a dictator or whatever. I mean, these issues certainly seem like they're worthy of public hearings and legislative deliberation and decision by law. This is getting a little old with me too, but you got to remember our legislators, particularly the majority party in the mm-hmm. legislature, decided to abdicate. This may be how democracy dies. I think that the Democratic majority in the legislature does not want to take responsibility for any decisions. It's very happy to let the governor rule. The governor's not on the ballot in November. The Democratic legislators are on the ballot, and if they're not making any decisions, they can't be blamed for any decisions. They can be blamed for not doing their jobs, I suppose, but I'm not sure if people are picking up on that yet.
He just frustrates me. Every time I'm just about willing to give him a pass on something, and even maybe congratulate him for doing something, he goes the opposite direction. So last week I'm thinking, okay, the emergency powers are extended, but the governor said, we're going to look at all these EOs and maybe not keep all of them or scale some back. And I said, okay, that seems, at least he sounds reasonable with that, right? And then Monday comes out with this fine thing, and then Tuesday comes out with the masks in the daycare nonsense. I mean, the daycares have been open at his request, 1,400 of them, including ours. Daycare's been open since day one of this thing. We've had kids run around, staff. There's not been any big spike in the daycares. There's not been any spike in the daycares of coronavirus. Why now when the infection rate is 1.15%, why now require kids to wear masks?
Yeah, his policies here suggest that the problem is getting worse, not better.
Yes.
You know, the evidence is to the contrary there, but you know, he could be proven right. Will, we don't know how this is going to end up. I think though we have to consider whether we can go on this way, you know, much longer. Every day brings more news of the damage that has mm-hmm. been done to society, the economy, individuals, by these regulations, by you know, the lockdowns.
Right.
You know, the big news today is all the layoffs we're going to have at Raytheon, former United Technologies, and Pratt Whitney, because the air travel business is has been destroyed and probably will be destroyed for another few years. Now,
sure.
Is that worth you know, all this hysteria over the virus? If we are going to stay under the bed for the rest of our lives, I think, you know, we can keep the infections down if we never come out of the house. But what's the cost? I mean,
right,
the cost
right.
is the destruction, the economic destruction, personal destruction. If we are going to return to, you know, some normalcy and get something to the economy back and get something to personal lives back, get something to jobs back, we're going to have to come out of the house and we're going to have to take some risks. You know, we can take some precautions too. I mean, maybe we should still wear masks in public. Certainly, I think, ought to increase our access to the therapy that many doctors say still works. It always did work, but you know, because Trump endorsed it, you know,
it's
it
no good, right.
flushed down the toilet by hydroxychloroquine. Zinc and azithromycin seems to work, according to many experts, if it's applied very early in an infection. The strengthening of immune systems with vitamin D and vitamin C. I mean, that ought to be encouraged. You know, the more testing we can do, the better. But if we're going to stay under the bed for the rest of our lives, well, you know, there's going to be fewer infections. If we come out from under the bed, there's going to be more infections every day. But, you know, you were making the point, infections alone, I mean, it's not meaningful. The hospitalizations and deaths are the figures
That's
that are
it.
Meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care how many people, you know, have the infection today any more than I, you know, care how many people have a cold or broke their arm or something like that. You know, we have to care about hospitalizations and deaths, and if we're gonna get back to normal, if we're gonna come out from under the bed, we're gonna have to take risks, and there are gonna be more cases, and we're just gonna have to deal with it.
I mean, we're talking with Chris Powell from Journal Inquirer. I've talked to several in the last few days, several teachers, head teachers, educators, people trained in early childhood development, and not one has disagreed with the premise that a little kid wearing a mask all day for an extended period of time is not good emotionally for them. It does not help the learning because they key off of facial expression and word formation with mouths moving. It's just, I'm wondering if the treatment is far worse than the disease ever was.
Well, some experts back in March when these lockdowns were, you know, being implemented, said the same thing, that the treatment here, the prescription of lockdowns, was worse than the disease, and they suggested protecting the most vulnerable groups and, you know, doing some other precautions for everybody else, but not shutting society down.
Yeah.
The costs of shutting society down are now becoming overwhelming. You know, look, even the governor has argued that, you know, one or two infections at a school should not be cause for shutting the whole school down. And yet, you know, some of the towns
we reported this morning because
of open school ever again. If, you know, one infection is going to shut them down, why bother?
Well, they shut a school down because of a supposed case, a presumed case, not even confirmed yet, and they shut the school down. I mean, this is ludicrous, and I think the teachers' unions are held responsible for this. They've fought, they've dragged their feet on this thing every way possible, and the losers, again, the losers are the students.
Well, they, you know, the teachers do have a very high opinion of themselves, and, you know, apparently they think that they're the only ones facing risks by you know, trying to go back to work. Well, you know, we're all going to have to face risks if society is going to return to normal, and there, you know, some people are going to get sick and some people are going to die. But hey, the explosion in crime and drug abuse and suicide and mental illness and the economic destruction, you know, okay, you know, put those on the scale and weigh them and make your judgment.
Well, there you have it. You just point out something we haven't talked about much in this program is the spike in crime. You're seeing this in all major cities, and I heard this morning in New York City, the highest spike in murder rate in the history of the city has happened in the last few months. Highest ever.
Yeah, listen, I go through all the state papers every day, and there's shootings every day practically in Hartford, New Haven, Bridgeport. You know, Bridgeport, it's just astounding to me. And, you know, nobody notices, nobody cares, but I think they are worse in particularly in New Haven and Bridgeport because, you know, people do not have productive things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, it's funny how sometimes people will take one position, but then when there's something that is personally violating to them, they'll jump on another position. And you've got a piece here about two state legislative leaders mock their own abdication, and it's talking about one of them who is a well-known figure here in Connecticut. He's also a high school football coach in Berlin. How does that work? These are folks that you would think were going along wholeheartedly and in a full-throat manner with the governor, but apparently when it came to football, there was a breakdown in communication.
Well, the House Speaker, Joe Arisimowitz, you know, is a football coach at Berlin High School, and he was campaigning to try to get a football season going again, and he was upset with the public health department, which was opposing it, and Senator Bob Duff, who's the Democratic majority leader in the state Senate, was very upset that he was abused and disrespected and spat at as he was coming out of a meeting with the Norwalk Police Union. And he was, you know, very fairly complaining about that. But both of them were going along with the shutdown of the legislature, even as their issues that they were complaining about are fair issues for legislative consideration. If football's you know, going to be illegal or effectively illegal for high schools, why isn't the legislature deliberating that?
Right.
But the speaker who's complaining about the shutdown of football, he shut down the legislature, so yeah. we can't act in a democratic way about that. And the same with Senator Duff. If he's insulted by the arrogance and insubordination of the Norwalk Police Union, well, that's a legislative issue, too. Why do we have collective bargaining for a paramilitary organization? Why isn't the legislature looking at that? But, you know, Senator Duff writes essays in the Hearst papers saying that, let's shut down the legislature again. You know, they should be challenged about this. These are issues of legislative importance and importance to sustaining our democracy. And what do? They shut our democracy down.
I love it when I get you going, Chris. No, well, why should any employee paid by tax dollars, why should any of those people have collective bargaining and binding arbitration? Why isn't the legislature making decisions on all public contracts, right? I mean, this is ludicrous. It's absolutely insanity.
We have it because those groups are politically organized and you know, the public doesn't pay much attention. You know, part of the problem here, Will, with things getting so worse economically and socially, and yet they're not being an uprising about it. I think that problem is, you know, the ruling class, so to speak, and the intelligentsia, such as we have in Connecticut, most of those people are able to work from home. Mm-hmm. But the working class, the people who've got to go outside the house and, you know, do physical labor, manual labor, those are the people who are being, you know, shut down. And they're not as well paid. They're not as well insured. And I think they're just more demoralized than you know, the elite that's sitting at home working on its computer all day and, you know, having its paychecks deposited electronically to their bank accounts. So they're perfectly fine with it.
Well, I wonder. I wonder in this all, we're talking with Chris Powell from Journal Inquirer. I wonder in this all, in this pandemic mess, how many state employees were laid off? How many state employees were furloughed?
None of them were laid off because they have a contract that prohibits layoffs for another couple of years.
Imagine that.
You know, whether they're working or not, they're going to get paid.
Oh my gosh, it's such a broken system. Chris, what do you think? I mean, there's a lawsuit that's been filed in Connecticut court. A lawsuit's been filed against the governor for this overreach. We know in federal court there was a federal court judge that upheld a lawsuit favored the lawsuit in Pennsylvania that Governor Wolf was overreaching. Do you think legal remedy is, you know, it takes so long to get this stuff sorted out, but is it the only relief possible in sight is legal action?
Well, I don't know that such lawsuits have much standing. We have an emergency situations law that entitles the governor to proclaim an emergency and rule by decree for a set period. The legislature can review that and concur or disagree. And, you know, the legislature has abdicated. I mean, none of this, you know, this loss of democracy would have happened if the legislature had, you know, stood up as a co-equal branch of government. It's the legislature that's betrayed us.
So now there's some question, according to Martin Looney, there's some question if even the next session, the regular session, will start in time.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't know. And that's my point, that, you know, whenever we come out from under the bed, we are going to have to take risks.
Right. I mean, I think that all legislatures should work
for the rest of his life. His risks will be much lower than anybody who's trying to return democracy to Connecticut.
Well, I think they should all wear hazmat suits, helmets, face shields, masks. I think we put them in particulate rooms and let them have clean air.
But look at the irony here that, you know, the grocery clerks can work,
right,
the postal
exactly.
workers can work, and you know this is work connecting with the public. The police can work, but the officials we elect to make our laws and regulations and to superintend the operation of the government, they can't work. But grocery clerks can work.
Grocery store clerks are essential, and legislators are not, Chris.
Well, that's what they're telling us. In which case, I say they should resign and let somebody else do the job.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Listen, always a pleasure, Chris, to have you on, and thank you for the continued work that you do with your writings. And I know a lot of folks enjoy and appreciate what you write and love having you on the program. So thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me harangue you guys.
All right. Take care, Chris.
All right, bye-bye.